Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
No Richter scale can measure it.
They're coming!
No scientist can explain it.
Bert, they're under the ground!
And no one knows what to call it.
Megaworms or suckers or suckoids.
Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, Tremors.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to what we're calling Fear Worms.
Fear Worms, you guys.
Fear Worms.
Fear Worms. Guys, you see, because it's like an earworm, you know, like a song that gets in your head. It's a podcast that gets in your head.
But fear.
They're Fear Worms.
Fear Worms.
Because it's Tremors.
It is Tremors. Guys, this is a special We Just Watched series devoted to Tremors.
All six films.
All six films.
The Tremors franchise.
Yep. That's what's happening now. That's what you have to listen to.
Mm-hmm. If you were unaware that there were six films in the Tremors franchise, hello, fellow incredulous person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do that. This is actually a Patreon tier. We had mm-hmm. a Patreon subscriber do a tier specifically to produce their own podcast starring us. So special thanks to Aaron Burser for, I don't know, bringing the world what you're about to listen to. Mm-hmm. That we're not even sure what it's going to be. Anything could happen.
For latching on to us and dragging us screaming into the earth,
mm-hmm.
much like the characters in the Tremors films.
Thank you, Aaron Burr.
Mm-hmm. So Tremors.
Tremors. Guys, all right. So we're going through each movie and episode. Mm-hmm. So naturally, we're on the first one. We're going to have some fun little sections later. But I think mm-hmm. for starters, in the true or we
you
just
might,
watched...
You might, Dave, you might call them segments. Like a worm.
Like a worm. I get
Dave.
I get it.
Do you get it?
Tom, I get it.
Because they're worms.
Tom.
And they have segments.
I get it.
For those of you at home, worms have segmented bodies.
Yeah. It's gross.
It's real gross.
Yeah.
I don't know if these worms have segmented bodies.
I mean, I don't know if these are worms. That is definitely a thing I think we should, as we continue the series, I know mm-hmm. the series starts answering questions as to what are these things.
Well, I don't even think they're under the ground anymore at one point.
No.
Like in the sequel.
In the sequel, Aftershocks, I believe it's called.
Wings and
yep. But we find out their origin.
Bullshit.
In this movie, we don't. It's very simple. So we just watch fashion. Tom, how do you like Tremors?
I love Tremors.
Yeah, same here. I don't think that's
a
surprise.
Not the franchise. I want to be clear. the first movie titled Tremors.
Well, hold on.
Very much enjoy.
I agree with you, but I haven't seen many of the other films.
How many films have
you seen?
I've only seen the first two, but I just wanted to clarify for mm-hmm. people that statement is based entirely on this first film.
Mm-hmm. And
I very much like this movie.
We're both in the same place. I've only seen the first two. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to learn things as we go. You're going to hear us grow as people mm-hmm. as we continue to watch all the Tremors. But right now, yes, same answer. This first Tremors film I love and I grew up on and I think is kind of brilliant. I remember playing games with like Don't Touch
yeah.
the Ground type games
yeah.
with Tremors.
Yeah.
It's been a big part of my life. For a film that I'm not sure people think about anymore.
I don't know.
Because, like, if you're a youngin' now, mm-hmm. You might not have ever even seen Tremors.
Mm-hmm.
Much like 9/11, you might not have seen it, like, for yourself. You probably went back and watched clips on YouTube.
Yeah, Tremors and 9/11 occupy the same space in terms of national identity.
Yes.
And it's historical moments in
yeah.
time.
I'm really sorry I brought up 9/11 for us to have to
I'm
then...
not.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
It was appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
and necessary.
It's a good way to open a podcast about Tremors.
Yeah, it is the only way to open a podcast about Tremors.
Kind of, actually, because that's, I don't know if I want to start here, but that's kind of one of the most interesting things that I realized rewatching this is the character of Bert and what kind of a man he would be in today's America.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is things would get dark for Bert, I think.
Yes.
Although I guess we're going to see in the sequels because he's in them.
He's in all of them.
And is that the guy from Family Ties?
It is. It's Michael Gross.
That's weird. Yeah. Where do we start with Tremors? I was saying we should do, we have a, I'm going to say a little bit about the how Tremors came to be. It was written mm-hmm. by S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock.
Sure.
They were working for the U.S. Navy. They're in charge of creating safety videos for the U.S. Navy. And they were in the desert getting footage, and they climbed a boulder. And one of them was like, what if there was something that couldn't, like, what if we couldn't get off this rock, if something was keeping us on this rock? And that's where the goddamn premise came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was originally called Land Sharks. And then they later changed it, thanks to the SNL sketch. And then it was called Beneath Perfection, which is the name of the town in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then filming began in 1989. The effects are done by Amalgamated Dynamics, specifically them, which surprised me. Because I didn't know they were this active at the time.
Yeah, Amalgamated Dynamics has done a bunch of stuff.
Yes, they have. I got to visit them for a video we did at Cracked, and they had mm-hmm. a giant fucking tremor right there on the wall. Most of the tremor effects, a lot of it's puppets and model work and stuff.
It's all in this first film.
Yeah, there's some biggies, but yeah, it's mostly puppet work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for people who haven't seen this, you should probably go see it, right?
Yeah, you should rent this movie. It's a really competently made B horror film that's fun, and it's funny, and the effects look good.
And it features Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward.
And it's got Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, the duo we didn't know we needed.
Yeah, Valentine and Earl.
Who would have ever thought that those two men would ever do anything together?
And I guess that's one of the first things you notice watching this film, yeah, is that you could watch a whole movie just with them doing odd jobs.
Right. They get so excited.
They get so excited about their life.
They're basically the town handymen. So their job is to just do whatever it is you need to be done at that particular moment.
Yeah. It's the town of perfection in the desert.
Yeah.
And there's not much around.
No, we meet them building a fence, and then later on they're emptying someone's septic tank.
Yeah, and they get shit all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comically sprays shit everywhere.
What's that kid's name? Fucking Melvin. Oh, Melvin sucks.
Melvin, if you're an MST3K fan, is the star of Wizards of the Lost Kingdom 2.
Oh my God, he is.
He's that shitty little kid right. in Wizards of the Lost Kingdom 2.
There's a lot of kids in this who grow up to be in iconic films.
Ariana Richards is in this mm-hmm. movie. She plays Lex in Jurassic Park.
Yep. This is her first movie dealing with monsters. Mm-hmm. She's younger in this. So they're the town handymen, and they want to leave. Their whole thing is they're getting the fuck out.
Because they're just in the middle of the desert in Nevada. There is nothing out there.
Mm-hmm. They're dressed people who dress like hillbillies for Halloween. Like, they're dressed...
Kind of.
They're dressed ridiculous, I think.
They're dressed in... There's a lot of denim in their wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense for the kind of work they do.
Right.
But, yeah, it's like, it's... Yeah. They're almost lured into staying in town because... I forget what she wants them to do, build her garden or something?
It's wood or something. It's wood, really. The idea is she's like, there's going to be free beer.
She's going to pay
lunches.
Him with free beer. Yeah. And it's almost enough for them to stay.
And then they drive and they're like, we did it. We got out. And they're so happy.
Yeah.
They're such soulmates.
Their big challenge, their last temptation of Christ is turning down free beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just such delightful characters. They're so dumb.
They're dumb, but they're like I want to say like emotionally dumb. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because they're very much like a pair of kids, especially when it comes to talking about Rhonda, who's the geology student they meet out in the desert.
Right, but they're very smart when it comes to logistical things.
Right, they're just, yeah, they just have developed emotionally maybe to 12 years old.
Yes.
They're Which like makes two them, kids trapped in men's bodies.
Yeah, it makes them like perfect. When I was a young kid watching this, I was like, I can relate to these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they meet Rhonda in the desert. Yeah. And Kevin Bacon is super excited because he's like, there's a new woman here. Because yeah. I'm sure he's just sick of fucking everybody.
Yeah, there's like two women in town.
Yeah.
And one of them's nine.
Right.
So it's just the mom.
Yeah, which the other woman might be Kevin Bacon's daughter.
That's
the
true.
Other girl, I mean.
It's true, though. Yeah, Ariana Richards might be his kid.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because we don't
he
see...
Know. I don't think yeah. he knows.
But yeah, like there's like the whole town is like six buildings mm-hmm. and a few trailers. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's the hottest piece in town, Kevin
Oh,
Bacon.
For sure. I mean, yeah. Kevin Bacon's, yeah.
Yeah. And he acts like it because he's disappointed when he meets this woman and she's not... I mean, she is a beautiful woman,
yeah.
but she's not... his beautiful, the beautiful he wants her to be or something.
Right, that's right.
He's like, oh, he's like, she has sunblock on her nose and a silly
right, like,
hat. And it's like, those can be removed, Kevin Bacon.
Right, like, because like Earl's like immediately like, hey, what do you think about her? And
yeah.
he's and Val's like, nah, she's not like, she doesn't check all the things off on my list that you want. And
right.
Earl points out that there's like, we're in a town of 10 people, man.
Right.
What are the odds that you're going to find
on,
somebody
man.
That checks
yeah.
off all those li-
yeah.
things on your
she
list?
She seems like a very, very pretty, normal human being. You should probably latch on to that before
yeah.
someone else does.
Right. In this fucking Dust Bowl town.
I forget when he says the line, I wish a stampede up your ass, Earl does, but I just have to point out that line. Because he makes a joke about stampedes, and then he says,
right, when we
oh,
first
that's
meet
it.
Them.
Yeah, he fakes a stampede to wake him
right.
up.
Earl, and they're asleep out in the desert in their truck, and Val starts bouncing the truck up and down to wake Earl up and says, stampede, Earl!
Right. God, I
and
love
that's
these
fucked
guys.
Up. That's like shouting fire in a burning building
mm-hmm.
to dudes who are out here working on the
yeah.
range.
It's also setting up something.
It is. It's foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. So they, all right, they go into town, right? They leave town, and
yeah.
they end up, do they end up coming upon our first death,
yeah,
Edgar?
Yeah, they find the dead guy up in the power lines.
Mm-hmm. And this guy is up in the power lines, and they find out later he's died from dehydration.
Yeah. He stayed up there so long, he just died of thirst. And he's clutching a rifle in his lap. So we're
yeah.
like, oh, something sinister is afoot.
Right. Okay. I know next is Old Fred. Do we get to him right away? Old Fred is the guy who's with the sheep.
Yeah.
And he gets sucked off.
He does. He gets sucked right off.
Mm-hmm.
Right into the earth.
Right into the
and
earth.
Then yeah, because they bring Edgar's body back to town and try to leave a second time, and they come upon Old Fred's tiny little man. Old Fred leaves a hellish, depressing existence. He has like a 13-foot shack and sheep, and that's his entire life.
I like how differently we think, because when I saw Old Fred, I was like, that's the life right there. Living in your shack, getting shit-faced with your sheep.
With your sheep, and that's it. That is your entire life.
Mm-hmm. You know what he's doing to that sheep, those sheep, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
we know it. You don't have to talk about it.
You don't need to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And get into Old Fred's business. I don't like to speak ill of the dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they find him. All of his sheep have been eaten, and then they find his fucking dead face.
Yep.
It's sticking up out of the earth like a potato.
It really is.
Just crazy
with a
dead.
Horrified face. Why did the graboids, why did they do that? Why did they not want the head?
I don't know. I think they do some things just because it's funny.
I think so too, because later they start fucking with them.
Yes.
Yeah. Next deaths are the construction guys.
Yeah, the two construction
Carmine,
guys.
One of them's named Carmine. I didn't catch the other guy's name.
Oh, Howard maybe? I don't
yeah,
know.
They
I'm
die,
looking at a cast list.
One of them dies off camera.
Yeah, one of them, they're jackhammering. One of them pierces a graboid and gets dragged off. The other one chases after him and gets crushed by an avalanche.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to learn that their blood is like delicious tomato soup.
Yeah, it does look very tomato-y.
Yeah, it's a good movie to watch tomato soup. Or to eat tomato soup while watching.
Yeah, or spaghetti.
Or spaghetti, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's so the avalanche blocks the road, so Val and Earl can't leave now.
Yep. And they've realized something is very fishy. I feel like the construction that happened and then they find old Fred. I'm not certain.
It might be.
But then they figure out something's up. Oh, and then that's it. When they escape the construction, their truck gets caught on something. And they learn later it's a graboid.
Yes. Yeah, it's when they're trying to get out of there.
Yeah,
but it's a little graboid worm mouth thingy.
Yep. And this is the brilliance of this movie, is right away you think, oh, they're kind of medium-sized, like they're big for worms, but it's like these worms that are like as big as your arm in the ground. And it's hard to remember, like, not knowing that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that's a great, you know, lead up to the surprise, although I'm sure the trailer spoiled it.
It might have. I don't remember seeing the trailers. I remember seeing the gigantic lobby standee for this.
Okay, yeah.
On the cover, it's the tiny worm. They make it look huge, but it's still the tiny worm.
Okay. Yeah, they do. It feels misleading because it's like, that's not what they look like. I don't know if I saw this in theaters. I remember seeing it on VHS a lot of times.
Oh, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw the standee in theaters, like the lobby standee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's tough to remember. It's sort of like watching... Okay, I'm going to compare it to this. It's sort of like watching Psycho.
9/11? Oh.
Yeah, okay. 9/11. No, it's like watching Psycho, and you have to remember that the fact that the killer is Norman is a reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's tough to remember what that must have been like. So, like, watching this film, it's right up there with Psycho.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's when they show the little thing that got, like, sort of torn in half trying to drag their truck, it's like, oh, this is the size of, like, a big snake.
Mm-hmm. Which, that would be cool, too. We've done movies about that. We've called them Anaconda. We put John Voight in it. You know,
sure
it all worked out. It all worked out.
Both in the film and in the snake.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So, like, I like that they're like, this is the monster, but it's not actually. And then I think the next deaths are the two old lovers, Megan and Dr. Jim. Dr. Jim we see earlier to looking at, I think, Fred.
He's looking at Edgar.
So they're building the house together, these two old people just fucking in the desert, in their car. They're like camping. And then they get attacked and the car gets sucked under. Which is pretty
He does.
Oh,
first
yeah, first
he does.
Dr. Jim dies.
They're building a house out in the desert. Dr. Jim goes over to see what happened to their generator. It got sucked into the earth. And then he gets dragged into the ground in what is a pretty horrifying sequence. He's like screaming, getting pulled into the earth. She tries to put a board for him to grab onto. It snaps in half. Like,
apparently,
it's real violent.
Yeah, apparently the scene was even more violent in the original cut, too.
I believe it. Yeah, that's something we could talk about, too. This movie was originally a hard R.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's evident in the spots where they clearly overdubbed people saying fuck.
Right. Yeah, because they probably realized...
Many times in the film.
I think what happened was they probably realized the gore wasn't that bad, so they just had to work around it a little bit.
Yeah. And it's not like... I don't have the feeling that this movie would have been, like, better... If it was rated
no,
R?
No, I don't either. I might not have seen it when I was a kid. Who knows? I mean, I saw everything, but, you know.
Yeah.
So those two die, and they find their bodies. They find the car buried.
Yeah, they find the car.
And I think this is about when we finally see a full worm. And the reveal is that those little worms is actually the tongue of a bigger worm.
It's this little alien mouth.
Yep. And this is when the movie, I think, the effects of the movie becomes brilliant, because they show the full length thing once. This big thing, like as long as a school bus. And the way they made it is they made a foam, you know, a version of these, a full scale. They buried it and dug it up to make it look like it'd been in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't move. Mm-hmm. And so we established this scale of these monsters, But most of the time, since they're underground, it's just the little worms coming out, which are so much more manageable to do. And then every now and then it's the full head. And they make these things enormous without having to do much more than puppet like a few worms. And it works.
Yeah.
And that's something. Like, the effects in this are really good. They pull a... I guess we should wait till we get into the making of this, but, like, they do the thing that Jaws does, which is they have, like, these bumps on the ground.
Yeah, they sort of get around having to show the thing too much.
Mm-hmm. Since it's underground, we never have to see it move. So they'll do these POV shots. They'll show it, like, pop out, like, just the little worms, just the mouths come out, and then they'll like grab someone, and then it'll run to someone else, and they'll do just quick POV shot of it going across, and then it busting out, and maybe just the head this time, and you feel like these things are enormous and fast, but you're really not seeing much.
Yeah, they'll also do the real close shot of like its little hair feet thingies pushing it through the earth, you know, when it shows like a shot of it of its body kind of sliding through the earth. They'll do like a close-up of that to show you that it's moving. But yeah, I think that's the only time you see a full worm is right there and in the end when it flies off the cliff.
It flies off the cliff. Spoilers.
It super flies off the cliff.
Who dies next? I think Tremor dies next. It chases Kevin Bacon and hits a wall.
It chases all of them, and they jump. It chases Val and Earl, and they jump into like this trench. This like it's a little runoff trench
or something.
Little
LA River situation there.
Yeah, and it rams through the concrete wall and kills itself,
which was pretty great. This is more foreshadowing too.
Yeah, they're blind.
Yeah, that's what they figure out is that they're. They sense through vibrations. And I think it is around this time is the first time they get stuck in the rocks.
Yeah, because Rhonda comes over and is like, do you guys feel like some seismic activity? And they're like, well, it's a fucking worm.
Right.
And there's two more out there, and they have to get back to their truck.
Yes.
Something happened to Val and Earl's truck, right? Because they're trying to get to Rhonda's truck.
Let's see. Oh, they're on horses.
They're on horses?
Aren't they on horses at that point?
I don't remember.
No,
they have to pole vault.
Hold on. They have two horses that are... Maybe this is a different part. Because they take horses to go do something. They take the doctor's horses or somebody's to try to get out of there. I think the horses get spooked, right? God damn it, I just watched this.
hold on.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I know there's horses, and I know the horses get spooked. And that's why. Yeah, and then they jump across the concrete ditch, and it hits the wall. That's the same scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what happens. Then they have to pole vault into Rhonda's truck and get back into town to get off the rocks.
Yes. And that's the next, like, really. That's when we get to what makes this movie great. Because right now the underground worms is a cool idea and they're creepy, but they introduce this thing of like, oh, you just can't touch the ground, and they're very patient, so they sit on the rocks for like a day, don't they?
It's overnight.
Oh yeah, because she cuddles with Kevin Bacon. They're like, are they still out there? And they throw like a piece of wood or something, and they're like, out of the ground.
Yeah.
So they pole vault from some very convenient poles. I don't know why there's poles.
They're from like a fence. They grab them from a fence nearby.
This is a weird aside, but I noticed at this point when I was watching that Kevin Bacon's belt buckle is heart-shaped and has a gravestone on it. I don't know what that's about.
That means he got a certain achievement in Red Dead.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, that is where he's got like enough headshots. Enough worm headshots. So they drive back to town. They get attacked, but she does the thing where she fucking goes head first through the back of the truck and like pushes on the gas.
Accelerator.
Yeah, it feels like if she went in, I mean, this is not a criticism. If she went in feet first, I feel like she could have gotten a better situation
maybe.
There.
Maybe.
Whatever. And they get back to perfection, and that's when I think there's the more fun and games of them not being able to... Oh, yeah, the Graboids show up there, and that's when... what's her name? Ariana Richards, I think, plays Mindy.
Something happens. Like, she's doing a...
She's on her pogo stick.
She's on her pogo stick. Val has to tackle her out of the way. Rhonda gets caught in barbed wire and almost gets eaten. So Graboids attack. The Graboids attack. They all have to regroup basically inside the store.
I think what happens is Mindy and her mom are on the other building, Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so this is where it gets cool.
Yeah, like Melvin's on his roof.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how it starts. Like, Melvin's dribbling a basketball, and they hear some shit outside. They hear Melvin scream outside, so they think it's him fucking with them again. But then they climb outside. He's
right,
climbed like
Melvin
a pole.
Melvin sucks.
Because
Melvin keeps
sucks.
Going, oh, they're coming to get me. And then they look, and he's like, I got you. They should have let Melvin die. Melvin is the worst character.
They should have fed him to the Graboids so that they could live.
Yes, absolutely. They should have fed him, like, each limb. They should have cut him up. They should have killed him themselves. Because they would want the satisfaction, right? They want that on their souls to kill Melvin.
Yes.
Like, they should have killed him like Caesar. Like, they all stab him.
They all should have stabbed him once, get their, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They all should have wet their beaks, so to speak.
And then they cut him into pieces, and they hang him from ropes, and they use his limbs to bait the Graboids.
Right, just drag him, just drag his flopping arms behind a truck, and then the Graboids will grab that. It's everybody else is free to just run to safety.
Problem solved.
We just improved this film.
So what this amounts to is this small town, suddenly everybody's on their own collective roofs.
Right, but that's... Remember, the refrigerator kicks on and the Graboid bursts through the floor in the store and eats Walter.
Yep.
We haven't store even owner.
Talked about Bert and
Bert and Reba.
Reba. Yeah.
Reba McEntire.
Yeah. What's her character's name? It's
Heather.
Heather. Thank you. Bert and Heather. Because they're off in their own fucking apocalypse bunker having a great
time. Like, their home is a bunker with a giant fence, and like, they have all this guns and ammunition and shit.
Again, this is why Bert wouldn't do great in the America we have now, or maybe he would. Because
depends on how you're defining great.
Yeah, I do want to address these characters and all characters, because this movie is full of these like, I think what makes it so good is like, Bert is a paranoid militiaman, basically. But he's not threatening. It's just a hobby to him. Like, they do there. It's a very like happy version of these gun toting paranoid people, because they all have guns, not just Bert and Heather. And like one point Bert is talking about the woman who's come to like the seismologist, and he's like, you know, if she finds oil there, the government's going to come in and take all the land. And he's saying it the way someone would say, you know, it might rain later. Like, he's not angry. He's just like, you know, the government's out to get us. Like, it's very funny, because he's like a paranoid QAnon guy. But before that was like a problem in this country.
Right.
So he's treated like a fun character. And it's a world I want to live in, where that is the case.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be real nice. But so they're at home just fucking getting all their guns together. And it's a great device for this movie, like in the terms of the writing, of like, how do we give them a bunch of guns? And it's like, well, let's have some like crazy militia people.
Yeah, have one of them be like a paranoid anti-government doomsday prepper. Yeah.
It works really well.
Yeah. So they're all on the roofs. Another worm attacks Bert and Heather at their house and bursts through their wall, and they shoot it to death.
Using an elephant gun.
Using a fucking gigantic elephant gun.
Yeah, they just pump it through, filled with so many bullets, one after another. And then he's like, this isn't working. And he gets his elephant gun out.
I'm reading the behind the scenes. It is an 8-gauge darn shotgun that they rented from a private collector.
That sounds about right.
that fire dummy cartridges made from solid brass rod stock.
Jesus Christ.
Like, the shells for this gun are enormous.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest gun in the world. They shoot
and that
it
does
this
it.
Work.
And yeah. They also
unsurprisingly,
do
it does the job. Mm-hmm.
But then they establish a really smart thing, is that later he tries to shoot them through the ground, and he's like, mm-hmm. It's not working.
Right. He comments like that for all of his guns. Like, I never figured out having to shoot through the earth, because it stops bullets pretty resolutely.
This movie does a great job at presenting problems, finding solutions, and then creating more problems.
Yeah, in a way that doesn't necessarily seem cheap.
No.
Like, it doesn't feel like they're fighting the screenwriter, even though they kind of are.
Yeah, but it's smart enough, because what we get... Meanwhile, while Bert and Heather are doing their thing, the rest of the main characters are now on these roofs, and mm-hmm. they don't know how to get down. And I honestly, at that point, you're like, I don't know how they're going to get down. I don't know how they're going to get out of this, because there's not a cop. There's nothing for miles.
Mm-hmm.
They're stuck in these roofs, and the tremors, they're killing the foundations. And
they start pulling the buildings down.
Yeah. Yeah, this is after the death of Walter Chang, I believe.
Yeah. They burst up through the floor before they climbed on the roof, and they ate Walter.
Poor Walter.
Now, in this, when they start pulling the foundations down, they knock Nestor off of his trailer.
Oh.
Nestor has barely been a character in this
Nestor
film.
Nestor was my favorite death, because they're like, oh no, Nestor. And I'm like, who's Nestor?
Yeah,
and it's just like, some little wiener. And he's like,
he's like the lawyer in Jurassic Park. Like, he's like, you gotta get off the ground, Nestor. So he climbs on top of a tire that's just on its side on the ground. And they're like, no, that's no good, Nestor. You gotta get high.
You fucking idiot, Nestor.
And they pull him through the tire into the ground. It's the funniest death.
It is. It's also, I think, the last human death.
But yes, that's correct.
Yep. Poor Nestor. Just hung on a little longer.
Yeah. Had he not thought that fucking half a foot off the ground was enough distance.
Yep.
So this is where they have to distract the worms long enough for Val to run and get the tractor, like a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm. And it's a cool idea. It has to drag the semi behind it, the thing.
It's dragging like an old trailer, yeah.
A trailer, yeah. And then the idea is to pick them all up, and the graboids won't be able to suck that under because it's so...
It's heavy. It's just a heavy piece of earth-moving machinery.
Yeah, and this next sequence is delightful. They start by taking an old like a lawnmower.
Yes.
And they send it going in a direction so the tremors will follow it. And so they tie a thing to it to keep it steady. They turn it on and they send it on its way, and the tremors follow it. And so mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon, Val, he runs for the tractor.
He goes footloose across the desert.
He goes footloose, you're right. And the tractor or the lawnmower tips over.
Yeah, it tips over.
And they get it. And so then they run to Kevin Bacon, and there's a great little fucking they don't see you if you don't move sequence where he's standing there while the little wormies are popped in and out looking for him.
And he has to keep lifting his foot up over one as it swings back and forth.
It's great because And like, so it's they do everything they can with this premise. And everything leads
really
into the next. Because then what happens is...
Rhonda busts the water tower.
Rhonda busts the water tower, causing vibrations in them to go to that. So then Val is running back to the tractor, and then suddenly Rhonda has to deal with them. And they're like chewing the ladder, and she almost gets got by them.
Yeah.
There, and it's like one fucking thing after another. It's so good.
Yeah, it just keeps escalating.
Mm-hmm.
But again, never in a way that feels like cheap or cheating.
No, and it feels like everything's leading to the other. There's no ex machina suddenly saving mm-hmm. them. Like, no one comes to their rescue. It's like, what are we going to do about this fucking situation? Because there are goddamn worms in the ground, and no one's here to help us.
There are fucking monsters. Yeah.
We can't touch the ground. What do we do? It's fantastic.
Val gets the trailer, Drake takes it over, and everybody hops in the trailer, and they're driving along, and eventually what happens is the worms pull the wheels out from under the tractor. They mm-hmm. disable it, basically.
And so they have to run to rocks. Mm-hmm. Which I like too.
No, wait. No, they don't pull the wheels. They dig a trap. That's right. They dig a pit trap.
Oh, yeah.
And the bulldozer crashes.
And so they have to run to the rocks, which is great because we're back to where we started. We're back to...
Yeah, back on the goddamn rocks.
Yeah. But before they do, Melvin is like, I don't want to go. And Bert gives him a gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, this'll get him. And then the reveal is that he gave him an unloaded gun.
Yeah.
Which I love. Because again, it's such a idealistic version of a militia gun nut. Because when he gets the gun back from Melvin, he checks it. He like checks to make sure it's not loaded. And he's like, it got you moving, didn't it? And it's like, even Bert was like, yeah, I'm not giving Melvin a loaded gun. Are you kidding me?
He says as much. He says, you're the last person I want to have a gun.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, yeah, it is a very optimistic view of this character.
It's a very optimistic view of, like, hoarding guns in the desert. It's like, what if there's tremors?
He's a maniac, but he's a very responsible gun owner.
He is. Yeah, I mean, their basement is all locked up and stuff. He gets that elephant gun from a glass case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in case of break glass kind of situation.
Right, in case of worms.
Break glass.
Here's this gigantic-ass gun. Here's this cannon.
What would he
use
that?
Hold in
what
your
did
arms?
He think? Was that anti-tank? Did he think he would
an elephant?
Yeah, but I mean, like in his mind, why did he have it in the desert?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's partly a joke.
Yeah, I just
why
think
did
it's
they
like,
why did they have Uzis? Like why?
Well, because here's all right. Because the truth is that Bert and Heather were about to do some real dark stuff before worms came along. They were like, we're going to D.C. Because why else would they? I mean, the idea is they're just hoarders and they're waiting for the apocalypse.
Yes.
So, yeah, you might need an elephant gun. So they're stuck on this rock again. They start doing the pipe bomb stuff, which is when we learn that the Tremors are smart.
It's also, well, we also learned they were smart because they disable Bert and Heather's truck.
Right, yeah.
Like they're like, yeah, we can take the four-wheel drive and come pick you all up. And then the worms rip the tires.
Well, what they keep doing is adapting, which is very cool. Because they kill one of them with a pipe bomb.
Excuse me. Yes, yeah, that's another thing is Bert has made pipe bombs.
Of course he has. They improvise make pipe bombs, cutting their chimney.
Yeah.
And they make a series. There's a good line where it's like, what is that? And he's just like, you know, it's just a, oh, God damn, what's the line? It's something about
a couple of household items in the right appropriate order.
Yeah, something like that. And it's like, oh man, you're such a maniac. And they kill the first one with
you were
going to
be
bomb.
On the news someday, Bert.
Oh yeah, and not it wasn't going to be for fucking desert worm monsters.
Yeah, not heroically.
No. So then they blow up the first one, and then they try it on the second one, because what they're doing is they tie the pipe bombs to rope, and they throw them out in the desert, and it eats pipe bomb. They're fishing. The second one spits the pipe bomb out back at them.
Yes.
So it figured it out.
And it lands on the bag of pipe bombs.
Yep. And then a huge explosion. They're stuck on the rock. And they have one pipe bomb left. That's what it is. So, again, great fucking idea of these things are getting smarter, and every time the writers introduce like an easy out, they take it away.
Yeah, the worms figure it out.
Yep, the worms
figure
it out.
So it's like a chess game between the human characters and the worms.
Yes, which doesn't say much for the humans, but
it's just like what you were describing. Each time they figure something out, the worms figure it out as well.
Yeah, and so they have one final fucking pipe bomb, and Kevin Bacon. Yep. Gets one final idea, which is that he fucking runs for it to a cliff, and just as the Tremors is getting to him, and then Earl and there's one other person,
Rhonda,
thank you. Earl and Rhonda join because Rhonda has the lighter, that's what it is, and then they get to the cliff, and he throws the pipe on behind the Tremor, scares him. And he goes shoom through the cliff.
He stampedes the worm over the cliff, basically.
Yes, it's such a cool idea. Again, it's taking every idea they could and using it. Because it's like, well, what if this thing hit a cliff? Oh, it'd go flying right out and slam on the rocks and just burst in
and
a bunch of delicious tomato soup.
Just juicy, creamy, rich, hearty tomato soup.
What a great film. Such a good film.
It's pretty excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have any overall thoughts about this movie that you want to share?
No, just the thoughts that I shared at the beginning. You know, okay. We did a pretty exhaustive moment by moment synopsis of the film, but like it's fun. It's the effects are all great. They're all practical effects. They're all very clever. The movie is pretty tightly written. Like I said a few times, nothing feels like it's cheating. It feels like every moment like the humans figure something out. Like
yeah.
Like oh thank goodness they've solved it. It's like nope. They immediately take it away from him, so it keeps escalating in a way
yeah.
that feels organic and not like yeah, not like cheating or just like, well, what if this happened?
It's so surprisingly well written, I think. For the movie that it is.
For what it is, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just the plot points, it's the dialogue. It's also really good. I was looking up what these writers have done. Man, any guesses
it's
of what these writers have done?
Something nuts, isn't it?
They wrote a lot of the sequels. They also wrote Short Circuit.
There it is.
And Ghost Dad. And Wild Wild West.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Also Heart and Souls. So it's a toss-up.
Great film. Solid film.
Heart and Souls, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. talks to the ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Director Ron Underwood, who we haven't really praised or talked about, he did City Slickers and also
yeah,
Mighty
sense.
Joe Young. And then he went on to do The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Mm. And then for some reason after that, just a lot of TV episodes. I don't know why.
You don't know why he would
I don't
have,
know why
know,
he never made
a,
another movie after that.
A huge big budget film with Eddie Murphy. I don't mm-hmm. know why that would have...
I'm not sure what happened.
Refuge in the loving embrace of television
mm-hmm.
forever after.
Yeah, it's very weird. But yeah, he more or less started with Tremors. He did it with like some short films before it, but Tremors put him on the map, and then they mm-hmm. gave him City Slickers, and things were going good until about 2002, when just something happened to his career for some reason. I don't know. So we were given a few sections to include in this by our overlord, Aaron Burr.
Yes.
One of them simply called Us Versus Them, which he wanted a kill counter. Now, I found something interesting about this, is that the internet said 12 people died. I counted 8.
Yeah, who are the 12?
All right, Edgar, Old Fred,
yeah,
the two construction guys.
That's 4.
Yeah, the two old people fucking.
Doctor and his wife, that's 6.
Walter Chang.
7.
And Nestor, that's 8. Now,
are they counting the fucking worms?
Well, if we do, that's 3. That's still 11, right?
That's 4.
There's 4?
Yeah. There's the one that they rammed through the trench in the beginning. There's the one that Bert and Heather shoot to death. There's the one that gets blown up with the pipe bomb. And then there's the last one
so
that flies
16,
off the cliff.
Or 12, I mean? 12?
That makes 12.
Okay. What they didn't count then is 16 sheep. So it's 28 total. I paused the movie. I counted the sheep. So if we want to get serious about this.
I do.
It's
if you're going to do something, do it right.
8 humans.
Mm-hmm.
4 tremors.
4 tremors.
16 sheep.
16 sheep.
Yep. So the sheep really got fucked more than anybody else.
They sure did. No in memoriam segment for them at the Oscars this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, nothing. So I guess we move on from there to our Behind the Worm section. We want to talk about, you know, some of the making of this.
Yeah.
I found a few interesting things. For one, both the beginning and ending of this film were different.
Go on.
This movie opens with him pissing in a canyon, Kevin Bacon, but it actually opened with a town drunk get gobbled up it was the mule of the town drunk. It was opened with a mule getting eaten, I can see them cutting it. Like that does make a big difference because you know by opening with the graboids eating a mule, you kind of they give away their hand right away.
Yeah, a little bit.
They
want to make it more mysterious in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
What was the ending?
The ending was them driving to Bixby and then turning around to go back to the town, and that was it. Like they were going to try to get out of there once for all. Apparently, the Rhonda stuff, there wasn't a kiss. The romance stuff didn't happen, and audiences were like, "Well, what the fuck, man? They gotta get together." So they added that, even though that's, you know, weird.
It's a little, it's unearned.
Well, it's cliche. It's the cliche unearned kiss at the end of a movie. But yeah,
yeah.
Some other fun things I learned was, they achieved the bumps in the ground.
Yeah.
By dragging a boat buoy through trenches.
Oh, okay. That
nice
makes sense.
And simple. As we said, you could go online. There's Amalgamated Dynamics video of them doing all the puppetry, and it's quite something watching it all. Like when the graboid busts into Bert and Heather's place, like that's a model and a puppet. There's a lot of amazing puppet stuff. They apparently built a hand puppet, and they didn't think they were going to need it. Like a simple Jim Henson hand puppet, and it ended up coming in really handy. Not surprising, Kevin Bacon hated this movie at first.
Aww.
He considered it a low point in his career. As he described once to the Telegraph, "I broke down and fell to the sidewalk screaming to my pregnant wife, 'I can't believe I'm doing a movie about underground worms.'" He had nightmares while filming, apparently.
About the worms or about his career?
About monsters. And his wife was pregnant at the time, Kira Sedgwick.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he was sleepwalking and, like, trying to carry her out of the house.
Jesus Christ, this movie really fucked with him.
Yeah, this movie really fucked with him. I think later he's made peace with it because he's in the TV show that I don't think ever happened.
No, they did a pilot, though.
Yeah, so I think he learned later because I can see his career, he wanting to be, like, a serious actor or something. And him doing this worm movie and being like, "God damn it. Like, this is not what I want." And not being able to appreciate it until people probably started approaching him and being like, "I love Tremors." You know, like, I think I can see why he would warm up to this as well. Like, learning, I guess that stupid worm movie wasn't so bad.
And he's had a pretty long and successful career since then, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And where was this in his career? Was this like...
This is 90, so this is after she's having a baby.
Okay. So this is where he really got going, right? Like,
yeah, he was still... I mean, it's after Footloose.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Footloose. Tremors, man.
Yeah, Tremors.
This is when
they're
like, "We're going to give you Flatliners after this, sir."
It's same year.
Mm-hmm.
It's pre-RIPD.
Yeah, and they're like, "You're going to get Flatliners, and if you do real good, we're going to give you JFK. And if you play your cards right, you're going to go into space with Tom Hanks."
That's true.
Yeah. And everything's going to be great.
90 and 91 were big years for him, actually.
Mm-hmm. He had good 90s in general. The River Wild. I mean, come on. Working with Meryl Streep.
It's like Flatliners and Tremors are the same year. In the 91, it's Queen's Logic, He Said, She Said, JFK, A Few Good Men.
He has a great career, Kevin Bacon. Except for RIPD. But... He's doing good. He's doing good.
Yeah, he's hanging in there.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm looking at his career, and there's something in 2018 called Duck, a film by Kevin Bacon.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what this is. It's a behind-the-scenes film of another film by him? What is going on? I don't think I need to explore this any longer.
A lot going on here, man.
Mm-hmm. He had a band. Remember his band?
Yeah, the Bacon Brothers.
Yeah. My teacher in high school would play with them. His band played with the Bacon Brothers. He was
sure.
He was like, "I know Kevin Bacon. I have his phone number." And we were like, "Give us his phone number." I would have called the shit out of Kevin Bacon.
I would have called him to talk about Tremors.
Yeah, I would have been like, "Listen, Kevin, you know what
now
this
that I got
is.
You on the phone.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Tremors." You notice the part where when he makes a run for it and one scene, the ground under him shakes as if, I don't know, there's a pit dug and a boards... Like when
I didn't
there's
notice that.
Oh, it's a bad effect. I mean, it's not a bad effect. It's the effects on this is great. It's just a reveal where at one point he has to run away and like the ground under him bounces up and down of the desert, and then a graboid bursts out where he was, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
So we have one final section here.
Oh yeah, one final segment, Dave. Segment.
Bert's,
get with it.
Seg. Whatever. Man. All right. Segment. We hit the final, the tail on the worm.
Where the poop comes out.
Where the poop comes out. This is Bert's Bullets. We're going to give a rating system between 1 and 5 bullets. 5 being the best bullets. The most bullets for the best movie.
The most bullets.
We want to shoot the movie we like the most. That's, I think that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how most scales are.
Yeah, so how many
the star rating for movies is how many ninja stars you'd throw at it.
That's true. That's true. You love it so much that you're going to throw ninja stars at it.
You
want to
pierce it with shurikens.
Mm-hmm. How many of them bullets would you give this?
Well, a five, obviously.
Yeah. This is a five. This is a movie that has been with us, at least with me, for my most of my life.
Pretty much, yeah. I've never let me down.
Yeah, it's never let me down. It is really well made, more so than I think people realize.
Yeah, if you haven't watched this since you were a kid or something, watch it again. You'd be surprised at how good it is.
Yeah, and I have a feeling this is going to be the high point of this series. Because I think one of the problems that happen with Tremors is the sequels. Is I think people don't think about the first one nearly as much anymore. Because we think of it, like if you were born into a world where there were many Tremors, you would just be like, oh, Tremors, that dumb worm series. But the first one, like we said at the top of this, they don't talk about where the worms came from.
No, they're just there.
Yeah, and they're just like, what do you think? And one of them's like, oh, I think it's the radiation. The other one's like, I think they came from space. And it's perfect because you're watching all of this play out from the ground level, from eye level of watching people who have no idea what's going on have to deal with these giant fucking worms.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where they came from.
No, it doesn't. Really doesn't. And they know that. It's like the Alien movies.
Yeah.
Like, the more we learn, the less interesting it is. And I have a feeling that's one of the problems with the sequels. Like, this is a good standalone film that probably didn't need to go any further. But I guess we'll find out in the next episodes.
We will. We'll find out together with you guys who are going to keep listening.
Of course. Why would they not?
Why would you not? Yeah.
Yeah, guys, next episode is Tremors 2 Aftershocks.
Tremors 2 Aftershocks, the direct-to-video sequel from 1996 starring Fred Ward and Michael Gross.
Yep. It appears Kevin Bacon did not want to be involved.
He was not interested.
I don't remember this being terrible, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I haven't watched it since it first premiered on video.
Yeah, I remember the effects being kind of good.
Yeah. And I remember there being some bad CG, but...
Yeah, but that's... When do you say 96? 96, small indie film, yeah. I could see there being some bad CG in that. Yeah, all right. I guess thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, you guys. Thanks so much for checking this out.
Yeah, special thanks to Aaron Burser for making it all happen. We got a whole journey together coming up. If you don't remember, Aaron Burser is the guy responsible for the adventures of two guys watching the adventures of Briscoe County Jr. because this one guy made us.
I know I haven't forgotten.
No, he's left scars. And will continue to. He won't stop, I think, until we're dead, right?
Oh, I've assumed so. Yeah, I assumed as much.
I feel like we might have done something to him that we don't know, and this is his way of getting revenge.
Maybe. I don't know. I refuse to reflect upon it.
That's probably good.
I don't like to address any time in my life that I might have done something wrong. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and if anything, this will make us more powerful, and we'll eventually come after him and strike him down.
That's right. That's how it goes.
So watch out, Aaron Burr. We're gonna get you for what you did to Hamilton. We're pretty sure it's the same guy, right?
Pretty sure it's the same guy. Yeah.
It's time traveling Aaron Burr. That's the narrative I've created.
Or zombie. It could be undead.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if undead can use computers. That's unrealistic.
Can mummies use computers? Probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Vampires?
No, definitely. Depends on how old the vampire is. Like, can you see Brad Pitt in an Interview with a Vampire learning how to go on AOL? Like,
yeah,
no.
Man.
It's like someone's grandpa.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he'd be really into it. Like, he's just now figuring out Instant Messenger in 2019.
Yeah, I could see that, actually. And I'm sure if you're a vampire, I'm sure there's all sorts of ways to use the internet to your advantage to kill a bunch of goths.
Yeah, it seems like a good place for vampires.
Yeah, they must have loved goths, too. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man, yes. Live Journal, vampires were all over Live Journal.
It's just crawling with vampires. Yeah.
That was extremely their shit.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, all right. Let's be done.
All right.
You want to be done?
Yeah, should we plug stuff? Do we plug anything?
If you guys are interested in getting your own, your very own sponsored series, you can head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, where that is a tier, and there are other tiers available as well.
Also, look forward to, this isn't the only sponsored series coming out. We have another one. We're not going to tell you what it is. You're just going to have to find out. But it's also revolving around a series of movies. Mm-hmm. So the future is bright.
So bright.
Super bright.
Mm-hmm. So bright, we got to wear sunblock on the tip of our nose and nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good whatever day it is.
Mm-hmm. Who can say?
Happy Fear Worms Day.
Happy Fear Worms.
Fear Worms.